Father, we thank you again for this precious book. Lord, without it, we wouldn't know you. We'd have no hope. We'd be wandering like most of the world is today, believing some false god that we bring up our own mind, thinking because we're trying to please somebody, surely it would get us some merits along life pathway. But we thank you for this book shows us that the only merit we have is in the Lord Jesus Christ. The only event that happens in our life that matters is to know him as Savior when he died on Calvary that we might have eternal life. And I pray that as we study the study we have last few weeks, though we've been out a couple of weeks, Lord, people see, I believe God leads in direction to understand what's happening in our day, even as we see things started many years ago, maybe hid, may just come up once in a while, but a whole society goes in that direction. It may not be exactly the same way that something's written about, but it's certainly in the generalization because everybody has their own ideas. I pray you'd give us understanding and bless your holy name tonight as we study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Now, as you hold that just a minute, we've been talking about, and I've been mentioned to you, the Gospel of Judas. And 158 years after Jesus Christ, this book was written. It wasn't written by Judas. It was written by people who claimed they understood his life, I guess, or inspired to do it. But we know it's a lie because of the other things that's been said there. I know this, that when you, what I've said so far, and I've used the word a bit, and I didn't explain that because I thought everybody probably knew what that was, but if you don't, a bit just simply means the book that you're actually reading, studying, instead of naming it every time, like the Gospel of Judas, the Gospel of Judas, you can say a bit. It means that subject, and then that's the page numbers on there. And I have not seen this book myself and found it, but I've done a lot of research and found a lot of things about it, and I believe these quotes because it quotes from that book and that we've been seeing the last few weeks. And so here, we see that in the Gospel of Judas, Christ was supposed to have said to Judas, on page 33 of it, he said, "Come that I may teach you about secrets no person has ever seen." And secrets simply set forth no person ever seen. That's exactly what lost people want to hear, because they want secret knowledge that doesn't condemn them. And in turn, they can bring out and believe that they have no accounting day. There's no judgment day somewhere or another, because we come up with our thoughts what we should think. Since we're intellectually, and since we are, they don't realize an image of God. We know we are, but they don't, that they have the ability to do whatever needs to be done at the end to merit whatever they think in their mind that they want to merit. And so they want God in this particular book, they don't want to see themselves as lawbreakers or God offended sinners who deserve to go to hell, and therefore they don't need the blood of Jesus Christ. And even though that they give Judas a high ranking place as the best Christian in the world, wasn't so much that he went to Calvary to pay for sin, but he went to Calvary for the purpose, when he turned him over to the authorities, that he helped Jesus get out of the body of flesh to become back a spirit that he was before he ever came and was born in Mary's womb. And so some people today want to be saved by learning. They also say that Judas, this book has to do that you learn about yourself and about this thing of life, and you learn certain things, and religion is a thing that you can learn, and if you tap into it right and honest, then you'd be okay. Of course, we know that's not so, and we'll see that as we walk through this. Some people today want to be saved by learning about Christianity. They think, if I can study and learn the historical facts and the doctrines of Jesus Christ, then I can do what I need to do to be saved. They're not talking about being born again, but if I study his life and the doctrines of Christ and try to practice them, that will merit me something on the other side or when I leave this world. They also say that that if I can look at the doctrines of Christ, I can also learn enough about the Bible in Christian doctrines, I'll be saved. Or if someone would teach me how to be a Christian, I'm good enough to be able to do it. So all of that has to do with works, no matter how you look at it. And by the way, anyone who's tried to work their way to heaven or say they get there by what they work is in this category. It may not be just like this, but all works are leading to the same place, where there may be different types of works. And we prove that biblically. If we didn't have the Bible, we wouldn't have enough to stand upon. So the Bible describes this like this in 2 Timothy 3, verse 7. If you look with me, he said, ever learning. And this is a key verse, I think, because these people who say, you just teach me what I need to know, I'm good enough to be able to do it, and I merit my own way. But not what God says through the Apostle Paul, ever learning. They're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And when it's talking about starting back, there's four lies that this book teaches, that which everybody who doesn't believe the Bible, I'm talking about the Gospel of Judas, teaches. There's four lies that's a generalization that what everybody may believe, one of those four lies, if not all of those lies, if they don't believe the Bible itself. And so Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life in John 14, 6. We know that when he said, no man come to the Father by me. So that sets another tremendous truth in God's word that a man can't be saved without Jesus Christ. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. And truth rights in the middle of the way and the life. And so God double ups on that for you and I. And so he set forth that if a person thinks they can work their way to heaven by studying and learning the doctrines of the Bible, then they throw out the blood. But the scripture teaches we don't have access to God, don't have access to Jesus Christ, don't have access to the destiny that Jesus himself has already said he preordained, that he is fixing for us. Works will not get us there. Now, I thought a couple weeks ago while studying this, in other words, what happens? Paul said, I preached a message back a few weeks ago in Galatians 1:9, if any man preach any other gospel than that you have received, what do you say? Let him be accursed. So that says to me, right off the top, when I see something like the Gospel of Judas and what it says about Christ and what he said about how you can earn your salvation, then that's another gospel that's not a gospel. It may be good news to someone who's trying to work their way to heaven, but that's not good news when you get to the end of the road, because you're going to find it won't get you there. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is good news now, and it will be good news in that day, because it will get us where God said he was going to take us as we trust Christ as Savior. But if you just think about in believing, you say, well, learning is good. And by the way, to say that salvation comes by learning only is a lie. It doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit doesn't give us knowledge when we study the scriptures of drawing us to the Lamb of God. As a matter of fact, beginning of knowledge, the fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. So it doesn't mean that this book is full of facts. This book is full of information. The Holy Spirit takes this book to draw us through that information. But we have to do more than just say, I believe that book. Did you know there's a lot of folks on this earth today, so I believe that Jesus Christ came. I believe he came years ago. But that alone won't do it. Why do you believe? Well, I've heard the story. At Christmas time, at Easter time, I've read the tract. I've read the book. Well, that's the information. But the information itself will not save you. So, probably that. All right, let me tell you something. Let's suppose you go to the doctor this week, you've got a real bad disease. And the doctor says, you know, I've seen something on the market that's cured everybody I know of. I'm going to write this prescription out for you, and I want you to go have this prescription filled. And you go fill that prescription, and you get home, set it on the shelf. You got the knowledge, you got the prescription, you know he said it helped you, but for some reason, I'm just going to wait it out. And a person dies. Ladies and gentlemen, just because you had the prescription, because you had the knowledge, because you had the medicine, unless you take it, it don't help you. And that's what God is telling us. This book is precious. And though we have the book, we have the revelation, we have the Holy Spirit bringing and drawing people to the Saint Lamb of God. He's exalted the Lord Jesus Christ as the way of life. He's got people like us who are very willing to stand our ground and say that Jesus Christ is the only way that a person can get to heaven. But if a person believes all those facts and don't, John 1:12, receive Christ as their Savior, they don't get to heaven. There's more to it. It's a birth. It's a birth. No, knowledge of facts is not going to do it itself unless that knowledge of fact brings to a birth. It took a birth to get in this world. I've said hundreds of times, it takes a birth, a spiritual birth, get into the kingdom of God. And so the Holy Spirit will draw us to the Lamb of God, but he will not burglarize our will. He will convince us that we're lost. He will convince us that we need to be saved. He has people on this earth that will weep and pray and beg and plead and talk and go all the time to give the information out. You and I can't save nobody. God can but won't save nobody unless they receive His Son as their Savior. And then we see, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. So when I see this lie, I see it is a lie that salvation comes by only learning or learning only. Isn't it an amazing thing that there's going to be some people who know the facts about Christ, have even accepted the fact this book says some good things about Him, but stand before Him one day at the great white throne judgment and not at the bema seat of Christ, because they won't stand there as a child of God. They stand there because they refuse to receive Christ as their personal Savior. Then the second lie that we see in this is that salvation is achieved by something earned by good works in this life. The Gospel of Judas teaches that salvation is a great human work. It's an achievement. Judas is presented as the best and highest Christian of all, who does a very good deed by betraying Christ, which moves him into the spiritual world. He hands Christ over to be killed to the authorities. And by doing this, Judas supposedly shows that he is far above all other Christians, and Jesus supposedly benefited from Judas's betrayal, because by getting out of the body of flesh through death, because Judas betrayed him, let him get back to the spiritual world that he was before he came. Well, by the way, he did go back to the spiritual world before he came. But I want to tell you, Satan had his man, and Jesus chose him because in the plan and purpose, did you know God didn't make Judas do what he did? But he used him and showed that even in the front door of Satan, he can use one of Satan's followers to do what he has to do what to redeem man from this earth. And I'm going to be honest with you, and I've said it before and I've said it now, Judas Iscariot has never been saved. He's the son of perdition. And the way he died, there's nowhere. So I said, well, he was sorry. He was sorry he got caught. He was sorry that not so much that he betrayed Christ's soul, but the fact is that it didn't turn out like he thought it was going to turn out. He sold him for a bunch of money, and in turn, he ended up reaping the worst because he ended up in eternity without Christ. And ain't it amazing, walking in 3.5 years, isn't it amazing there's people who sat in churches, Bible-believing churches at times, for years and years too, and hear the word over and over. And you'd be surprised if some of those never trust Christ. Why? Because hearing is not enough. Now, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And I'm glad God doesn't leave us ignorant. But there is that final thing, and that's receiving Christ as their personal Savior. And so, he said, the fact that Jesus was supposed to have said to Judas, on page 43 of the Bible, he said, you will exceed all of them, for you will sacrifice the man, which he talked about the body, that's what they said this means, that clothed me, which is the Spirit. And yet, Jesus said in John 12, 3 through 6, a few weeks ago in the message I preached, when Mary took the ointment and broke it and washed Jesus' feet with her hair and that ointment, and Judas said, why wasn't this sold for money to give to the poor? And the scripture says that he said that not because he was concerned about the poor, because he was what? A thief, right? He was a thief. And so there, it was a cover-up. It was a type of cover-up. He was playing a part and thought he was getting by with it while he walked with Christ 3.5 years. And yet he was a thief sitting on that board. And did you know the only one that knew it was Christ? Do you wonder how he got to carry the purse around? I'm sure that the Lord didn't necessarily point him. I'd bet you that the disciples pointed him to carry the purse, not knowing. How would you like to have someone like that carry yours around? But anyhow, it's interesting to me. The Gospel of Judas says Judas will exceed the other Christians. He will be better than them, do greater work than them, advance higher than others. it will be, it says he will perform the greatest achievement of all. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we all know that Judas didn't, what he did was actually bad. It wasn't good. It wasn't good. I'm sorry. So he did help Christ get to the cross. But I'd hate to have been the one to have done that. Our blood, our sins put him there. And he had to go because of us. But Judas also, he went there for Judas. But Judas was used because he was satanic. He was a thief. He was an unsaved person to accomplish God's purpose. And that amazes me because it shows me that Satan cannot do anything to stop him. In fact, he'll do it right in front of Satan, and Satan won't know what's going on. Satan don't know everything. He don't know the future. But he watches real close. He's had 6,000 years plus, how many years before that, if we looked at time that he created the angels, to see how God works. He knows God better than you and I do. You know that? He knows him better than you and I do. And so I'm looking and I'm seeing that this is important to look at. You say, why take the time for something like that? Because it shows, what you're seeing here is showing what's on the generalization of people rebelling against the truth of God's word in our particular day. And so we know that Judas did actually was bad at this time. But the idea that the religion is a set of good deeds and achievements, and that's all religion is not enough. Religion may be a path of progress and moving up, but human works, but that's not enough for us to get saved. If this was true, people would boast about and brag about, and the Bible says, about what they had achieved to get there when they get there. By the way, if we could brag about getting to heaven to get there, when we get there, and we would mess it up. Because you're going to find this out. We who've been saved came to him with humility. I didn't come to Christ with pride. God broke me. By the way, he don't save many unless they are broke. Most of all of us are broke somewhere or another. And we see that we need him at that time. And so when they begin to brag about what we achieved, and we're in this life, and it happened there. But the true scriptures teach salvation by grace alone. And without human works, the Bible says in Romans 4, verse 4, it says that now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Now, what is he talking about? The works is someone, if to him that worketh to get it, he thinks it's due to him because he earned it. He merited it. It was a wage. If I did it to get it, then I did what I need to do to get it, and you owe it to me because I met the criteria. But that's not what it's like. It's a reward, not reckoned of grace. In other words, it's not legally due to you and I because we worked it out. It is given to us because of God's mercy and his grace that we believe God had his record. We believe the record, and through the record we receive the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So the Bible says that salvation is not a work, lest any man should boast in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 9. So we have nothing to brag about. We have nothing to brag about being saved. We have nothing good in ourselves. And that's why we have to be saved by grace, looking to Jesus Christ, not ourselves. And then we are able to brag about Jesus and not ourselves. We give him all the glory. He deserves it all, because without him, we would be lost. So the Bible teaches the exact opposite of what lost sinners want to believe. The Bible says that people are dead in sins, Ephesians 2, 5. We are born as sons and daughters of Adam and Eve with sinful nature that is turned against God and turned towards selfishness, because we have this nature. We have committed particular sins in our own life, which in turn condemns us. And also, the law can't do anything but do that. We have nothing in ourselves with which we can please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. We can't please God in ourselves because we were wicked in our hearts and sinful in our lives. But I thank God this book not only tells me where I was at and what condition I was in, but Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, that Paul said he was the chief. Man, folks, did you hear? He came to save sinners. Paul was chief. Now, if Paul was chief, we were in there somewhere or another. And I thank God to understand that you know what this study does? It helps me reaffirm the faith of this book. To see nowadays, I need to be on guard. Not for the gospel of Judah, I don't believe that anyhow, but what he sets forth can very easily attract us, can very easily grasp us because we're creatures of gradualism. And I've seen that in my lifetime. I want to tell you, Christians today, some are, but most are not as close to the Lord as Christians 50, 50 60 years were because they have more things to sidetrack them. It's amazing. It's not that we can't, but things get our attention. Less time is spent doing, studying, whatever God would have us to do. Where in times past, have you ever read the Bible from a ladder because you didn't have lights? You ever read the Bible from a fireplace because you didn't have lights? I remember seeing some people do that because they didn't have lights when you got out of town as I was just a young boy. What I'm saying to you, we have so much that God has blessed us with. It hinders sometimes. It just hinders it. And that's being honest before God. So I thank God that when we were yet without strength in due times, Christ died for us, Romans 5, 6 tells us. And Jesus did not come to teach us how to be better people. He didn't come to teach us how that we could achieve our salvation by our own good works and what we do. He didn't come that just for saying, you know, I just make a decision when I get ready to. Not at all. He came to die for sinners like you and me. And the Bible says in Romans 5, verse 8 and 9, and this verse alone counteracts everything that they said about the gospel of Judas. But God commended his love towards us. The word commend means he showed his love towards us. Notice in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Romans 5, verse 8 and 9. Galatians 1 again, I repeat that Paul said, if a man preach into the gospel, then this gospel, let him be a curse. What does that verse tell us? It's telling us there's no other way, folks. Let me ask you something. If someone asks you today, that's here today, you don't have to tell me that, but just think about it. If someone asks you here today, if you died today, you go to heaven, you say, I know that. I'm born again. Amen. But then say, but wait a minute. Do you not think that that person in Africa or South America or the Arctic or anywhere else on this planet that never heard Christ not going to go to heaven by some other way? If you said, oh, I think there might be, there may be something wrong with what you believe. Folks, I'm honest. I'm just honest on being. Because he is who he says he is, or we better be looking for a Savior. If he lied, we better be looking for a Savior. He didn't lie. The scriptures prove that. From Genesis to Revelation, the whole story has a bloodline in it flowing all the way through, and it connects as you study it so we can have the knowledge to know the facts are true. It's our fact check book. I've heard so much of that news here lately. It's our fact checks book. Check, not checkbook in the sense of money, but our fact check book. We have that. And so we find that the first thing that they talk about that that it's a lie that salvation comes by learning. They say it's a lie by salvation coming by good works or something that we achieve. It takes a birth. This is one thing that's helped me, folks. You say, I said a lot, but I said it because I go back to it a lot when it comes to things I don't understand. It takes a birth for me to learn. It takes a physical birth. And now you say, you've had this 100 times. It needs a rester. It takes a physical birth for me to learn anything in the physical life. And it takes a spiritual birth for me to learn anything in the spiritual life. In this life, it gets man achieved as far as his mentality and learning with whatever kind of mind we have. But in the spiritual world, it takes the Holy Spirit living in us to teach us the Word of God. We go to school and teach academics in this world and learn physically, but I'll tell you, it takes the Holy Spirit to bear witness to our heart in this life if something's going to be truth to understand what we're studying and reading. And that's the reason God gives us the Holy Spirit in our lives. When we get saved, when we come to Christ as Savior. So the third thing you see about this Gospel of Judas is the lie that salvation is found through a personal leading outside of the Bible. In other words, you can get saved without the Bible. Now let me ask you something. If a person can get saved in Africa outside of Jesus Christ, they don't need the Bible. Right? Help me out some, folks. I'm not teaching you a lie. You can rejoice over this. If they're reading anything other than the believe anything that's not in the Bible, then they're actually teaching error, and therefore we have the Scriptures. And I think the Lord that they're saying, well, that you can find a personal leading outside the Bible. It was common in the Gnostics in that day to believe that each person would associate with his own star. When I got seeing this, I said, oh my, I've seen that and heard it and never really understood it. You ever heard somebody say, just follow your star? You hear a lot sometimes in plays and things like that. Just follow your star. What's interesting, because early in the Gospel of Judas, Christ said, Judas, your star has led you astray, page 31. But then Jesus, the so-called Jesus, which is this false gospel, he said, gives a long set of strange and secret teachings to Judas, which none of the other disciples understood. And finally sends Judas out to betray him unto death, saying, you will exceed all of them, for you will sacrifice the man that clothed me. You take me out of the flesh through death and bring me back where I was at spiritually, page 43. And after giving Judas this so-called enlightenment, Jesus praised the star that supposedly led Judas to telling him, your star has shone brightly. Then the false Jesus tells Judas that his star will lead the way for him, saying, and page 43 through 44, here's what he says, Jesus supposed to have said. Look, you have been told everything. Lift up your eyes and look at the cloud and the light within it and the stars surrounding it. The star that leads the way is your star. Let me ask you something. When I read that and studied it, the first thing I thought of, can you tell me what you could think of when you hear that? Leading out all the stuff we hear today. Where's the only place you find a star had any emphasis in the book of Matthew? Call it the Star of Bethlehem. Because Jesus was the star, wasn't he? What was it? How about the three wise men? They had a star to follow, didn't they? It led them right to where Christ's child was at. Well, could this be a mark or that? I don't know. I just throw it out hypothetically. I just know this sounds just like what is taught and believed in much of the world today. Follow your own leading. Follow your own heart. Hey, have you ever heard that? Oh, you got to do just follow your heart. Well, God says this heart's deceitful. Maybe that's why we're not loved as much in the world. Because God is point blank to us. And sometimes he has to be for us to get what he's saying. Follow your heart. Follow your own star. It's proclaimed on television, in the movies, in the secular music. Follow your heart. Follow your guiding star. Do what your heart tells you to do. Trust your own feelings. It is not a surprise that this writing of Judas is a perfect agreement with modern pop psychology, that both spring from the same root, that proud actually corrupt the will of man, who wants to trust his own heart rather than the true Lord Jesus Christ. And we do that through the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Scriptures. We trust him because of the Holy Scriptures. And so the Bible says there's something wrong with our heart. So if I'm going to trust him with my heart before God, I got to be sure that I understand. That's reading God said in the Old Testament, give me your heart. Isn't that amazing? But listen, if it's as wicked as the Bible says it is, and it is, and God is as holy and righteous as he is, and he is, why are we on our filthy heart? But I'm glad he did. Glad he does. And so that's when you and I trust Christ as Savior, it's like we give him our heart. And he said, I'll make it new. And you look at your life as long as you've been saved. He's been doing that since you got saved. He will keep doing it till you and I go to heaven. Because we can't get it all at one time. We get him, but that information about him is still growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. And so I see that we must not trust our own heart. Our thoughts and our feelings go one way, and then this way, and then that way, and play tricks on us at times. In fact, our heart are our evil and lies to us all the time, leads us the wrong way. It leads us the wrong path. How many people right now do things because they think from their heart it's okay when God has said it's wrong? How many people today live a life that's completely against Scripture, even sometimes when they have parents and grandparents in turn who have taught the Scriptures to them? And we see in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 14, we see that Jesus said this. Now, let me find 17. Jesus said this. Now, keep in mind, our heart, in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, he said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperate wicked. I believe that, folks. I read it, I'm by myself. I believe that. But I want you to know this. It's not been that way since I've been saved. Because the heart beats in this body is not what I'm talking about now. I'm talking about the new heart God gives me the day I got saved. And he does that. The heart that the Holy Spirit has control of helping us as he uses the word in our life. And so I see that here, that when I read what Jesus said, because, and he's talking about the two ways here in Matthew chapter 7, verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. Folks, let me ask you something. What does few mean? Less than majority. I don't know, something about teaching the Word of God is different than what it used to be. Can you honestly believe that most people are going to heaven? No, you can't believe that. Jesus said that the way to life is narrow, and there be few that find it. It's amazing he's seeking us. So it's a terrible mistake to trust our own thoughts and feelings. It's a terrible mistake to follow our personal leading rather than the Bible. It's a terrible mistake to trust our own heart and follow our own star they set forth. In fact, turn to Proverbs chapter 28 with me. And I run across just studying the Scriptures recently as I've been in the book of Psalms. But chapter 28, Proverbs. And I want to look at verse 26. Watch what it says. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. Wonder why God said that through Solomon. One thing was that Jesus had come at that time. Then watch what he said. He said, but whosoever walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. So there's no doubt that this is pointing, looking at a depraved, unconverted heart. And in our hearts is the only, we have sin and confusion. And the only thing can straighten that is the Lord Jesus Christ. You must look outside of the sinful heart to Jesus Christ himself and trust him. But we don't just say, I'm going to trust the Lord today. Yeah, I've known a lot of folks done that. And all they did is just made a false confession. You know, when you do it, God knows exactly the right time to draw us to the Lamb of God so we know what the spiritual birth is. He doesn't save us and leave us ignorant about it. And once you know what the spiritual birth is, then Satan cannot really deceive us about it. Galatians 1 again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than ye have received, let him be accursed. So I know this. It's a lie that Satan comes by learning. It's a lie it's a lie that salvation comes by learning. It's a lie that salvation comes by good works. And it's a lie that salvation comes through a personal leading outside of the Bible. I'm going to say something here, that if a person does not get saved according to this Bible, they'll never be saved. That's enough for the night. I'll finish this next week. We get to another subject. Father in heaven, I want to thank you again for the precious Word of God, Lord. I want to thank you again for loving us. And I want to thank you again for touching our heart when we were young and touching our heart when we were eager to hear and touching our heart, Lord, at the time the Holy Spirit could really draw us to the Lamb of God. And our Father, we need to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for these here tonight. I pray let it not be born, Lord. Let it be that which in turn will cause us to be revolutionized as far as our Christian life is concerned. Let it be that which in turn we can give with a smile and yet with a broken heart and with compassion to those who listen. And then, understand, we were unsaved one time. I didn't get saved the first time I ever heard the gospel. In fact, I was in church 3 years before I got saved. I'm so glad you're patient with us. I'm so glad, God, pray your name. I'm glad nobody else said that you're compassionate with us and you didn't give up on us. And Lord, there came a day that you made yourself so real that we cried out, have mercy upon us and save us. And you walked into our heart as we walked through that door, the gospel door, which you said you are the door. And we thank you for that. And Father, as we read these things and study these things, all we're trying to do is show a comparison so we not be confused. If we don't understand where the world's at and what it's doing, how can we ever know that we'll be confused? So that means I'm going to have to know the scriptures to some degree to compare it to what's in the world so I can have that balance to understand how to walk. And yet, even then, I must never get conceited. I must never get to the place that we think we know it all, Lord, because we need to walk with compassion. Jesus knew more than any of us, and he always had compassion on those who would listen. He would cry out and hypocrites to those who wouldn't listen, especially leaders, but he had compassion on the people. He wept over the people. It amazes me. The Savior wept over the people at times because he saw they were not getting sometimes what they could have get if they just had faith, trusting, and God would increase that faith. Help us as we study these, dear Father. We're not studying it to browbeat people. We're studying it to know so we can honestly carry a conversation intellectually to those who want to hear intellectually. And maybe the Holy Spirit can convince someone to trust the Lord before it's too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.